And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princess also Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and manservants and maidservants and she asses and camels. Alas, Abraham said, I know that you are a fair woman. But people in Egypt, they said, she is very fair. Of course, it is an important thing for husband, men, to repeat to their wives that they are fair. But they should say very fair. Because it's really sad when all the people will say she is very fair. And the husband says only, you are fair. No, you should say that. And you should know that women are very forgetful in this field. So it is not sufficient just at the time of marriage and 1 year after. You should repeat all the time, up to 65 and more. So they realize this woman is extraordinary. And she should become the wife of the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was willing to get married with Sarai, this incredible woman. And dear brother Abraham got many gifts from this Pharaoh. Sheep, oxen, asses, manservants, maidservants, and so on. Incredible. But you see, this was the plan of the devil, of the serpent from Genesis 3. The devil wanted to destroy the plan of God. Out of this marriage from Abraham and Sarai should come Israel. And then Messiah as a blessing for all the Gentiles. But now, at that moment, Abraham and Sarai did not yet have a child. And now she should get married with the Pharaoh. This was just to destroy the plan of salvation. And so we understand what follows. God intervened. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And then everything became known. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me, to wife? Now, therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. And they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. But what a shame on the witness of Abraham. He was a missionary in Egypt. Of course, a missionary in the wrong missionary field because he had no call. But when you are a missionary in the wrong country, but at least be a witness and not a shame for the Lord, but he became a shame. You see, disobedience because of Lot leads to a lie, and the lie leads to shame on the testimony. Abraham returned. Genesis 13, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. He didn't have to give back all these gifts of the Pharaoh. He was really a good Pharaoh, wasn't he? He knew the difference between mine and thine. When he knew that this is the wife of Abraham, it was clear, then it's not the wife of the Pharaoh. That's really wonderful to see. Egypt at that time was already deep fallen into idolatry, but they still knew the difference of my and your. And so he was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold, because he brought with him all this. And he went back to Bethel, where he was before. So it's good when we went on a wrong way, we should return all the way until the place where we began to go astray. It's very important. And there he is again at the place of the altar in Bethel and Ai. But it's interesting when we read the rest of the story. After that, there was a strife between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Abraham. They didn't have enough place together. Why? Before they had enough place. Yes, but now with this gift for dear brother Abraham, they did no more have enough place. So strife. And the Bible says, and the Canaanites were dwelling in the country. Why this sentence? In order to show that the Canaanites, they realized this strife in this holy family. So people are observing us without giving any commentary. But they think something when they see the children of God are striving among them. And another thing, Abraham and Sarah did still not have a child. And the day came when Sarah said, Abraham, chapter 16, maybe, I tell it with my own words, maybe we understood the promise of the Lord a little bit wrongly. He said, I will get a child. But you know, there is a Gentile law that says when a rich woman does not get a child, the husband can get married with a servant maiden. And then the child of this young woman will be attributed to the rich first woman. But this was against God's plan. Polygamy was from the beginning of the Bible a sin. God created one Adam and not two Eve. One Eve. This was always God's plan. So, this was really terrible. The first time somebody took two wives in the Bible was Lamech. This terrible murder and descendant of Cain. And then the second, Abraham. And then, during 13 years, God did no more speak to Abraham. Just silence. But just a question. This young lady was an Egyptian lady, Hagar. From where does an Iraqi have an Egyptian servant? Yes, because Abraham made a journey to Egypt. And there he got, as a gift from the Pharaoh, Hagar. And he get married to Hagar and got a son before Isaac, Ishmael. And Ishmael became the father of many tribes in today's Saudi Arabia. And out of this lane, later on, came Muhammad. And by this, Islam. And by this, all these problems between the Muslim world and Israel today. It's incredible. Do you see all the chain? So our deeds have consequences over thousands of years. But to be short, and to finish with the most wonderful lesson in Abraham's life, God brought him one step after the other further. And eventually we see in Genesis 22 how Abraham was ready to give back even Isaac, the son of Sarai. That was an absolute wonder. Why did God wait 25 years? Not giving a child to Abraham, he wanted to wait until it was biologically impossible for a man to get a child. You see, Charlie Chaplin, at 80, got a son. But the day comes where it is really impossible for a man. And that when Abraham was 100 years old, it was biologically impossible. He was biologically dead. In this respect. And for the women, it's the same. Just earlier. So, Israel should not exist according to the natural laws. Israel is really a wonder. Is supernatural. And also the coming of Messiah out of his nation is only by this fact already supernatural. But we know even his birth afterwards was absolutely supernatural. But you see, Abraham got this son Isaac, and then God asked him to give him back. And he was ready to go into the land of Moriah and to give Isaac back. But we know that Isaac was eventually spared. And Abraham gave to this spot in the land of Moriah the name, "The Lord will provide." And we know, Moses explained, this name is because on the mount of this mount of the Lord, in the land of Moriah, God will provide the sacrifice by Messiah. And just at the end of this story in Genesis 22, we read that God says, verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Again, a messianic prophecy concerning the coming of Messiah. So you see the line, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, then Judah, and by many generations up to David, and from David by many generations up to Jesus. And this is the seed of Genesis 22:18. The promised Redeemer that should be for all the nations of the earth a blessing. In the life of Abraham we find four altars. The first we found already in Shechem. The second I just indicated in the region of Bethel. The next in Hebron. And this is the fourth altar in Abraham's life. And that's wonderful. All these four altars are in the West Bank. So-called occupied West Bank. That's really amazing. And you see, on this mountain, just beside the Mount of Moriah, the Lord Jesus eventually died on Calvary. And we read in Hebrews 13, verse 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Here, outside the Sha'ar Genat, the Garden Gate of Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus suffered on the rock of Calvary, gave his blood, and this message has now been announced among all the nations of the world. And millions of Gentiles came to know the Lord Jesus and get blessed. And eventually we will see in glory that from all the tribes, people, nations, and even languages, today we think there are 7,000 different languages without dialects, all the languages, people will be saved by the Lord Jesus, the Son of Abraham, the Son of God. Thank you.